Good morning. What's going on? Well, in an effort of authenticity to Vacation Bible School, they've asked a monkey to preach this morning. By way of introduction, if you can't read your bulletin or see the screen, my name is Denny. My wife is Sharon. We have the pleasure of meeting many of you, but have not met all of you as of yet. My story, in short, is I have recently retired from full-time ministry. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer and Parkinson's disease, which necessitated my retirement. So to be closer to family, so my kids can take care of me. Isn't that awful? We moved from Elkhart, Kansas to Ottawa. And at Thanksgiving of last year, I preached my last sermon on December 3rd. I had surgery on December 8th, and somehow during recovery and around Christmas time, I met the wonderful family at Grace Community Fellowship. And we stayed. Sorry. We're honored to become a part of the family since that time. As of my six-month checkup, I'm cancer-free. Praise the Lord. But as you will note, the Parkinson's is still at work and give me a permanent parade wave. Do I have a sense of humor about it? Yes, I do. God is good all the time. Amen. Amen. To begin this morning, I want to pray one of my favorite prayers. It's short, but it comes from the end of Psalm 19. You might enjoy it. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. This morning, I want to continue where Pastor Drew has been leading us in 1 John chapter 3. He did verses 1 to 10 last week. This week, I'm doing verses 11 to 24. Starting with verse 11, there's a shift that takes place in John's pattern. When you read through John's first epistle, there are three words that are key: obedience, truth, and love. Loving each other is a matter of walking in the light, not walking in darkness, Pastor Drew's told us. We are children of God, and therefore our trajectory of our life is to be sinning less and loving more. Having said that, John now digs a little deeper and holds us to some seriousness, because we are told that in loving one another, there are issues of life or death. Issues of life or death. Now, you don't have to travel with me very often. Those who have know that, for whatever reason, I am deathly afraid to fly. I flew next to a little six-year-old boy one time who looked at me and said, "Mister, can I hold your hand? Because you need it." Doesn't make any sense, because I rode a motorcycle most of my life. But flying in a plane just scares me to pieces. And there's something I don't understand. At the beginning of every flight, the flight attendants give the safety instructions. The doors are here and here and here. The lights are on the floor. The air will come down. Your life jacket is here. This is how you put it on. And I'm like taking notes. And I look at the people around me. And they're sleeping, listening to music, looking at the magazines, reading. They're on their computers. And I just want to shout, "Hey, there's a message of life and death here. Pay attention." Flight attendants letting us know important things. They're giving instructions that are a matter of life and death. I know, if you fly a lot, it's all the same. You've heard it before. They give the same instructions, the same thing. You've heard it. You know it. I don't pay attention to it. I have no need to hear it again. So I think it's easy to fall into a coma again when somebody's going to preach a sermon on love. love one another. I know, God is love, Jesus is love, love each other. I can go to sleep now, because I've heard this all before 1,000 times. But John says, not some knucklehead from Elkhart, John says in chapter 3, verse 14, this is a matter of life or death. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Whoever does not love abides in death. This is a matter of life or death. Because I'm the one giving the safety briefing this morning, I want to simplify the text a little bit and make it my own levels, four levels of love, four levels of relationship in human beings, three of which we need to eradicate from our lives. Eradicate from our lives in order to not abide in death. The first and lowest, I hope it's easiest for you to remove or eradicate, and that is a murderous heart. A murderous heart. Verse 12, chapter 3. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Take note of a couple things. Cain and Abel were brothers. They were family. And they were both worshipers. Both worshipers. A murderous heart can go to church, can participate in worship, can bring an offering, but out of jealousy, out of competitiveness, out of hatred, can be murderous of heart. See, the real test of life in the light of true enemies is love. So here's the questions I probe for you. Is there anybody you ever wish just got eliminated? That's a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer that out loud. Is anybody you wish were eliminated? Have you ever thought or said, in regard to certain nations or peoples, they ought to just nuke them? Ever simply wish something awful would happen to somebody? I just wish they'd get theirs. Would you ever desire opportunity to do another harm? Is your murderous heart thoughtful of destroying yourself? I went through a really dark, dark day in my life. And I thought of wrecking my motorcycle and going out in flames because of hopelessness. And what I'd share with you this morning, if you hear nothing else, there is hope in this place. There is light in the darkness, and his name is Jesus. And if you've thought of doing yourself harm, talk to somebody. Talk to Pastor Drew. Talk to one of the elders. Talk to somebody you respect in the church. I'd be glad to take time and pray with you because there's hope. There's hope in the darkness. The next level up, big level, is hatred. Verse 15. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. Wish I was preaching something easy this morning. Everybody who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. You may not consider yourself a murderer, but does hatred live in you for anyone? Has someone hurt you? Has someone betrayed you? Has someone offended you? Here's the worst part. Has somebody been unjust to your children or hurt your grandchildren? There's an ease to offense these days due to social media. You can write and say whatever you want and hide behind it. Just be an avatar and throw out shade. It's easy to boil and remain on simmer. When you remain on simmer in hatred, It affects your thoughts, your life, your actions. It's not easy to work around verse 15. He hates his brother as a murderer. And yet it's even harder to work around the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. You have heard it said, and to those of old, you shall not murder. Whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the fires of hell. Ever have somebody cut you off in traffic? You idiot! Oops. Oops. A matter of life or death. Is there anger or hatred in your heart for anyone? Oh, it doesn't get any easier. Level 3, indifference. Indifference. Verses 16 and 17. By this we know that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? The test of true Christian love is not only failure to do wrong or think evil of others, but it's action. Love is action. Love is involvement. Love is investment. Sometimes I think ignoring some people is the best I can do. Just speak to the hand. Ignoring somebody is the best I can do. And it is the best I can do. But it is not the best I can do with God in me and through me. Oh, I know my nickname around here. Amen. I carry a few in my pocket in case I need them. I know I'm in a Presbyterian church now. It's not the best I can do with God in me and through me. We need to eradicate indifference. Loving those who love you is no feat. Even pagans do that. And Jesus says, love your enemies and do good to them. Love involves service. Love involves sacrifice. God's love is personal and active. John is saying, need not hate another to be guilty of sin. All we have to do is ignore him or her. Life or death. Indifference needs to be eradicated by Christ. Which brings us to true Christian love. Verses 18 to 20. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are the truth and reassure our hearts before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Christian love is loving in deed and in truth. It's love that takes action to show another that love is not just talk. I think there's an awful lot of I love yous that are kind of cheap. Kind of a goodbye. Love you, love you, love you too, love you. Heart emojis, heart emojis. More heart emojis. We've diminished the meaning of love and saying I love you. Pardon me for a moment while I step on my soapbox. The proper response to I love you is thank you. Love you too. No. Thank you. Thank you. John is saying sincere expressions of deep gratitude are backed by words and actions of care and appreciation. It's about respect and honesty. It's not about flattery. It's not about manipulation. It's about sincerity in deed and in truth. People are attracted by genuine love, but they're unmoved by artificial stuff. The kind of love that God gives is unconditional. Unconditional. Can I say that again? Unconditional. Sacrificial. Costly. In truth and in deed is God's love. It's the love that Christ gave us on the cross. While yet you are sinners, I will die for you. This is the love that we need to strive for. This is the love that our trajectory ought to be on. As we sin less and love more, it is this kind of God's love in deed and in truth that needs to be on our trajectory. Murderous hearts, simmering hearts in anger and hatred, indifferent hearts, or loving hearts. A matter of life and death. I want to close with a verse that is often quoted, but I don't believe we really understand it. Like most of the Bible, it's understood by the context in which it's in. In other words, what are the verses around it that help us understand that verse when we use it? I learned it as CIE. Context is everything. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. For two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Hey, we're all together. Jesus is in the midst of us. But before this word, Jesus is teaching about accountability and honest dialogue, truth. Following this verse, in response to this verse, Peter asked Jesus, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? And Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. 70 times seven. That's a lot. I believe that when we're together, Jesus is in the midst of us. And he gives us the power, the ability, and the courage to truly love one another. To truly do what it takes to love one another. The power and willingness to forgive is in this gathering because Jesus is here and in the midst of us. Maybe there's someone in this room that you need to make things right with, that you need to love. You know they need encouragement. You know they need love. Maybe you need to tell them that they're forgiven. Maybe you need to ask for forgiveness. Maybe the one you need to love and forgive is yourself. I could love another 70 times seven, but I don't think I can forgive myself seven times. One of the hardest things we have to do is forgive ourselves. But in this room is Jesus, who enables us to love with great power. I'm going to pray that God will invest in us this incredible love. And then I'm going to give you a challenge as we pray. Stand with me. I want to give you mobility. I don't care if you interrupt me while I'm praying. If God has laid someone on your heart that you know needs encouragement, that you know needs love, that you know needs a hand, needs a hug, needs a handshake, needs to know that you love them, know that you've forgiven them, or somebody you know you need to ask forgiveness of, move now. Exactly. While we're praying in word and in deed, go to each other and minister to each other and give each other the hope that's important to do. Maybe that's not happening in your life right now, but for whatever reason, God laid this on my heart this week. And I encourage you to go to somebody that you think needs love and love on them while we pray this morning. Remember, as your flight attendant this morning, it's life or death. Will we abide in death or live in life because of the way we love one another? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, you have reminded us again, as much as we know about love, that it is serious. Our spiritual status, how well we love. And if we're angry at somebody or hate somebody or are just ignoring somebody or just haven't taken the opportunities we know you've asked us to take, we need to love one another in word and in deed. Help us to take seriously this call to love as you have loved us. Lord, we give you this opportunity to cleanse our heart and put our trajectory on the right lane. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.